Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It is Saturday, December 25th, Christmas Day. I'm Harley Schlanger. I'll be your host today. Actually, just so you know, we're pre-recording this a couple days before Christmas, but we wanted to make sure that you did hear from us on Christmas Day, those of you who want to stay in the real world as opposed to dive under the Christmas tree or into the vodka and liquor cabinet to try and avoid reality. We think it's important that you stay in reality. And so that's why today I'm very happy to say we're going to be carrying through a program of announcing our campaigns for 2012, only it's really not for 2012. That LaRouche PAC, the decision was made that given the absolutely horrendous run away from leadership by the Democratic Party in the face of the treachery of Barack Obama, it was essential that we put forward our campaigns now. I know we've covered some of this in the last couple of weeks because we announced earlier that Keisha Rogers would be running again for Congress, Rachel Brown would be running again, and Summer Shields would be running again. And that the three of them in the last campaign, in the 2010 election campaign, were the only Democrats who stood and fought every day for the policy solutions to this crisis. And the fact that they announced that they are ready to not only run again, but they're going to provide leadership going into the existential crisis that we're facing, led to a very significant reaction, not just from supporters, but from throughout the political arena. And so in that context, as the crisis has worsened, and as the president has proven that Lyndon LaRouche was exactly right when he said that Obama was going to dive into bed with the most fascist Republicans he could find, such as Rand Paul, the new senator from Kentucky, and some of the other right-wing anti-government lunatics. President Obama has done that, exactly as LaRouche warned, and is providing more evidence that he should be removed immediately. So on today's program, we're going to take up two questions. One, the expanded slate of LaRouche candidates. And there's a new release out on our website, the LaRouchePAC.com website. I urge you to go there, pull off this release, and start distributing it, because it's a statement from the six candidates who are running as a slate. That's one of the points that we're going to discuss on today's program. The other is the fight against the oppression of pessimism, the depression of the American people. I'm not talking about a financial depression. I'm talking about a psychological demoralization and how we have to fight it, because the best years for our nation are still ahead of us, provided we have leadership that will stimulate the imagination of the population instead of leadership like Obama that makes people want to go and throw up in the toilet. So joining me today will be Keisha Rogers, who is the Democratic Party nominee in the 22nd Congressional District, who pulled off a stunning upset last March 2010, and then ran a very strong campaign in the November election, one of the strongest campaigns by Democrats in Texas. Also, one of the new LaRouche PAC-endorsed candidates, Bill Roberts, who will be running in the state of Michigan. Bill will be with us on the program today. So, Keisha and Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello, Harley. Thank you.
Thanks, Harley.
Now, what I want to do is I want to start by just discussing some of the, give people an insight into the discussion process that was initiated by Lyndon LaRouche and some of us on this idea, not just of launching the campaigns, but of expanding it. And then from there, we'll get into a discussion on what we have to do, and more importantly, what the American people have to do. So, Keisha, why don't you give a sense from your perspective of what led to this decision to pull the slate together now and why we needed to expand it?
Sure. Well, I think it's very exciting to look at where we stand right now in terms of the leadership role that the LaRouche PAC and the LaRouche movement represents with the expansion of these six candidates. because what we discussed in terms of putting forth an additional slate of candidates, along with the candidates that people remember from the 2010 race, is that we're at a point right now where the entire global financial system is disintegrating, and it is only going to be with courageous leadership and people that are willing to go out and speak and be the voice of the people and put forth the solutions that are needed to get us out of this crisis, that we're going to be able to sustain our nation as a republic. And so I think if people really get a sense of what we are representing in this election period, it is that we've developed a committee of the six candidates, not only to represent their states or their cities in which they're going to be running in, the regions they're running in, but this is going to represent a thrust of a unified voice that will act as a presidential-style campaign to represent a committee to save the republic. So this is going to be a unified force as a committee to save the republic and to kick the traitors out, knowingly the traitors of the British Empire and the backers of this insane and corrupt president that we have in office now.
Keisha, let me ask you, because one of the issues that Lyndon LaRouche focused on was this so-called compromise on the Bush tax cuts. Now, I'm sure most of our listeners know that the issue was somewhat of a trumped-up issue. I mean, the fact is that the Bush tax cuts were part of the process of shutting down the economy and turning it into a nothing but a bailout economy. But the president turned against the Democratic Party by going along with these tax cuts, which mean essentially that people making over $250,000 a year, but especially people making millions of dollars a year, are going to get very large tax cuts. That is, they're going to get money back. And to save money, they're going to be cutting programs such as Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and so on. But also that this is a defiance, or it's a repudiation of Franklin Roosevelt's policy that the Social Security will not come out of the general fund. So Lyndon LaRouche jumped on this and said, look, this proves that Obama is trying to do through secret legislative actions what Bush and Cheney tried to do openly. We bloodied the nose of Bush and Cheney in 2005 and defeated them.
Right.
But Obama's doing this secretly. What kind of response are you getting by going out to the population and attacking the so-called deal on the tax cut?
Well, Harley, I can tell you the people are pissed. They are looking at what's happening right now in their states, in their cities. You have the record number of homelessness, of hunger in the cities and states, of cities and states being decimated by these policies. And while the poorest of our citizens in the population are being destroyed by these policies, you have this traitorous president along with the gutless Congress, Democrats in particular, who had the option to go with the same solution, to break with this president, as Mr. LaRouche warned, as I warned throughout my campaign, along with my colleagues' slate of candidates for the 2010 race, that if the Democrats didn't break with this president, we were going to see all-out insanity, a continued policy to destroy the population. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Now this president has joined forces with and aligned with the newly elected fascist grouping in the Republican Party to destroy and kill off the poorest of the population. And you see this with the compromises and the insane push that just took place with putting forth this tax cut for the rich. So while we have our population not able to find jobs, they're starving in the streets, being kicked out through massive foreclosures, we have a Democratic Party and Congress in the lame duck session that's been completely gutless, and we have no leadership in sight. And so this president has been able to get away with what Bush couldn't even accomplish in his eight-year term. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we've been going out in the street and organizing around this. Yesterday I joined a team on a rail on the bus system, and it was very clear that people were absolutely enraged by these policies. And they agreed with us that President Obama should be titled as the worst Republican president ever, or first black Republican president ever.
Well, it's important that people have fun with this, because it's not much fun going on overall with the collapse of the economy. So let me remind our listeners that this is our special Christmas program for 2010. It's Saturday, December 25th. And at LaRouche Pack, we'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And the way to really enjoy Christmas is to go onto the LaRouche Pack website and listen to some of the political Christmas carols that we have up there. Now, you just heard from Keisha Rogers. Keisha, as I said earlier, won the Democratic Party nomination for Congress in 2010, ran a good race. She didn't win. She lost to a very weak Republican, weak in the sense that he doesn't stand for anything, but it's a very highly Republican district. But Keisha, you expect, I'm sure, that a lot of the people who voted for him, for Pete Olson, voted for him with the expectation that he would be fighting Obama. What kind of response are you getting from the Republicans in the 22nd District who find out that Obama and Pete Olson are in an embrace, just as you said they would be during the campaign?
Well, it's indicative of the way that people were thinking during the campaign, because what my opponent represented was to invoke the rage and anger in the population in terms of getting them not to really vote for a principle or for a solution, but to just vote against this president. And so now they're saying, well, wait a minute, we were voting against Obama, we were voting against the same old, but they realized that this wasn't the person, and he's still continuing to go, my opponent in the race continues to go along with Obama and is joining with the forces to stop any type of real solutions from being put forth, whether it's saving NASA, putting forth Glass-Steagall, or stopping these insane tax cuts and actually putting forth a real solution for economic recovery with the global Glass-Steagall policy. So the people are starting to realize, and as I announce my candidacy and get the word out more, and also the word out that we have a unified force of six candidates, people are going to find that they once again have to return to us for that leadership, because we still remain the only true voice of leadership that represent a real solution to this crisis.
Well, with that, let me bring in one of our three new candidates, Bill Roberts from the Detroit area. Bill will be running as one of the LaRouche Democrats for Congress in 2012 and will be launching his campaign. We'll know in a couple of days. Some people are wondering why we're not more definitive about who we're running against. But as you may know, 2012 is the year where there's redistricting, and it's not 100% clear where the districts will be and who's going to be in which district, given that the Republicans now control Michigan. And by the way, Bill, I just read that Michigan was the first state in I think, four decades to lose population in the last 10 years, in a 10-year span of the census. So here we are preparing to announce a candidacy in a state that's declining economically, declining in population. Bill, what are you expecting from this campaign? How are you going to go out and represent the idea of a slate, a kind of presidential slate on policy in your poor, depressed state of Michigan?
Well, I think the key thing that's been emphasized already is that this is a slate. It's not six separate campaigns in six different regions, but it's a unified campaign which is designed to provide the necessary leadership that has been lacking, especially in the Congress, in the among the Democrats in the Congress, in their failure to push through the Glass-Steagall policy. And this is, you know, the population is pessimistic. They are downtrodden. But the key right now, I think, is that we've got a solution. The LaRouche Democrats, that make up this this campaign committee, that we have the ability to actually discuss with people, to give people a sense of optimism that comes from what has essentially been the target of the strength of the U.S. economy, which is its creativity, the ability to build, the ability to actually create a future. And that's where I think if you take the perspective that unifies all of these campaigns, that number one, Obama has to be removed, that number two, we've got to restore Glass-Steagall policy in order to even have the ability to have a functional economy again, to shut down the financial speculation. And then number three, which I think is going to be a large part of this campaign, the Midwest region in particular, which is NWAPA, which is that we're designing the economic recovery for the future, for immediate implementation, but for the next generation, and that this uniquely is the way in which people can actually locate in their minds the way that we're going to have a future. And so even though you've got a psychotic president and a grouping of incoming Republicans who say that, you know, service employees of cities and states are the problem, and they're you know, draining the budget, and that's the problem, which is a demoralizing, you know, situation to realize that this is who's, you know, running the government now. The opportunity, I think, is to immediately give people a sense of a solution, and as LaRouche's emphasized, to bring together the state level, we've got, from the campaigns here in the past around the Glass-Steagall resolution, and then going back further, the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act, and before that, the economic recovery solution that was proposed to retool the auto sector back in 2005. You know, we've got people who know that LaRouche has been on the right track.
Well, Bill, let me ask you about that, because I know you played a leading role in the mobilization as the auto sector was being taken down. And, of course, President Obama, another one of his lies is that he saved the auto sector with the bailout. But the fact is that you look at the Detroit area and you see not only have factories been shut down, but the whole machine tool sector that serves it, the smaller plants, the stamping plants, they've all been shut down. The city is becoming a ghost town. That's why we're losing population in the state. But you played a leading role in fighting to have a bill passed that would organize to get the auto sector retooled and begin to produce high-speed rail, power plants, and so on. Now with NWAPA, as one of the leading elements, the massive infrastructure plan of that Lyndon LaRouche has put forward and that our candidates are supporting, this is a way to realize the potential to reorganize and build up again employment of former auto workers, but this time not producing cars as much as producing the earth-moving equipment, the rail cars, the turbines for the power plants, and so on. How do you think this will work? Because I'd like you to give a sense of the response that we had several years ago when we were fighting for the Emergency Reconstruction Act and were sold out again by the Democrats, and of course the Republicans opposed it. But this time with NWAPA, it looks like it's a real option, doesn't it?
It's much bigger. I think it's a much bigger idea for people. And, with the Economic Recovery Act, There was a huge mobilization around having within the certain UAW locals coming from cities like Flint and Detroit, passing resolutions calling for this to be adopted by the Congress. But when the Congress sold out the population and basically turned loose the the piranhas, you know, the sharks, there was a huge, yeah, there's been a huge emptying out of this entire region, where, you know, many of the skilled tradesmen that I knew have moved to places like Arizona.
They're probably working on nurseries and planting grass for golf courses.
Right. So now this is, but now I think we're actually expanding the the outreach. I mean, the machine tool sector, the people and the engineers who have been in designing manufacturing processes, designing things like engines their entire life, are beginning to look at this not just as a way of turning something around. I think it's a much more vivid idea, because, you know, Nawapa is it's a real conception of how to create an entirely new platform for the economy, where you're bringing in the leading edge of scientific research, which is informing the idea of how you are mobilizing every aspect down to the smallest part of your economy. And yeah, it'll employ three to four million people. Much of these jobs are going to come directly, and I think producing things like steel and concrete. But also, it's going to require a lot of the industrial base in the machine tool sector to develop new technologies. And I think there's even going to be possibly some of what has been discussed, I think, already, is the idea that there is even going to be international cooperation around this, where you could foresee factories in the Midwest who maybe were previously auto-producing factories, maybe they're going to be building turbines for power stations, for nuclear power stations, mm-hmm. or something like that, and maybe they'll bring in a technology from somewhere like Switzerland or bring in the maglev train. So what we're finding is people's imaginations are getting sparked.
Yeah.
And they're starting to take this on as their own mission. And that's exciting.
All right, so you just heard from Bill Roberts, who is your Democratic candidate for Congress, part of the LaRouche slate, the expanded slate. This is the LaRouche Show for Saturday, December 25th, Christmas Day. Once again, I wish you a Merry Christmas and urge you to use the time to think about the actual meaning of the life of Jesus Christ in terms of the necessity to act in the interests of all mankind. Now, Keisha, let me come back to you, because you obviously were the at the center of the breakthrough with the campaigns, but it wasn't just that we had a campaign in Texas. It really was this idea that we had, you might say, the three corners, with the Rachel running against the discredited and used-up Barney Frank in Massachusetts. You know, Rachel mopped the floor with him, and now there are people saying that he should just leave now. Summer Shields, despite a problem with his voter registration, so he couldn't be on the ballot, did an excellent job of bringing together the various constituencies in the San Francisco area against another completely useless figure, Nancy Pelosi, who has once again shown her treachery in that she claims that she doesn't like the Bush tax cuts, but she made sure they passed. And then with your campaign in Texas, with the focus on NASA, the focus on the idea of impeaching the president because of his willingness to destroy the advanced technology that's necessary. So we had the three candidates. Now we're going with six candidates. What do you see this? How do you see this as an additional capability for the population, which otherwise is left with no leadership?
Well, I think that Bill, in his discussion, just laid it out very beautifully in terms of what these six campaigns would represent. I mean, because if you look at it, You've already expressed that we have the region here in Texas, which represents the southwest quarter of the Nahuapa project, and what that would represent for bringing water and new technologies and infrastructure into the Texas southwest region, including New Mexico and also Arizona and so forth. And also what you have in California and San Francisco, what Summer was unable to unleash with his campaign through representing the four-power solution of collaboration, cooperation, and development of the United States, Russia, China, and India, with the development potential that is represented in San Francisco, and Rachel with the two cities particularly outlining the Massachusetts front of a development of a nation state in which the settlers of the Massachusetts Bay Colony represented. And now you have the potential to even take that, to expand upon that development process with what Bill has laid out from organizing and recruiting your machine tool, your labor unions throughout the Michigan-Ohio area to take Washington-Seattle area, which Dave Christie would represent, and bring back our really emphasize the redevelopment of the industries under Boeing and also our scientific and industrial sector there, and kick out all of this coffee making sector, and actually put the productive sector back forth again. And also in Philadelphia, New Jersey area, our other campaign, which would represent a similar thrust of representing that core of what the foundation by the founding fathers of this nation for real industrial scientific development represents, along with the development of our space program. Because what we're doing with this with the Nahuapa project is we're organizing the groundswell and base to represent a change in to represent a new system. This is going to completely transform our relationship as human beings, not only to the earth by terraforming and transforming the biosphere and completely taking dominion over our periodic table to represent a whole new relationship in educating the population on not just thinking about this as bringing millions of gallons of water, more water than you could even imagine, throughout the entire northern quarter of the northern America, but that this is going to be the keystone for our relationship in completely taking on the challenges and transforming our relationship to the entire solar galaxy. And so we're taking the population beyond their level of thinking, out of their thinking small into thinking big, into thinking into the future, because that's the only way that we're going to get out of this crisis. And in order for us to achieve that, as Bill said, very key measures have to be taken. First and foremost, you won't see a future, we won't even see a nation, as long as we have this president remain in office. Secondly, we have to have Glass-Steagall banking reorganization, and that's going to give us the stepping stone to create the credit and the go with the fixed exchange rate currency to bring forth what we should be representing as a global initiative of infrastructure development and an alliance with other nations to collaborate so that we can once again represent the sovereign nation states that we are to represent. And we can't do that as long as we allow for the continued destruction and insane policies of bailouts and tax cuts for the rich and so forth that have nothing to do with developing, increasing the creativity and productivity of your society. And that's what we're fighting for. So it's big ideas, but it's big ideas that people can really be proud of getting behind.
Bill, let me come to you, and I'd like to hear what you have to say on that.
Well, I think that, I mean, people are going to be, I think, well, adding, bringing together this national perspective will give people a sense that there is a real leadership process that they don't see coming, that they haven't seen coming from either political party for a long time, not in terms of a real fight, which starts at the top, which starts with identifying that this is a war over the future of civilization. Because as long as it's a discussion over how the budget is going to be cut, or, you know, as long as the discussion is in the domain of, well, we really don't want to do this, but we just have to share the pain, or something like that, as opposed to saying, look, this is the result of rotten compromise, and the rotten compromise has been the toleration of the existence of the a domination over the nations of the world, over the United States, by a rotten financial system that's based on speculation. And so when people can identify a clear solution and have a sense that there is a unified leadership faction emerging around an uncompromising dedication to the only approach that will work, I think we're going to see a rather explosive response.
Well, Bill, have you been getting that kind of response so far? I know you're out in organizing. Let me actually develop this point a little bit more, because it seems to me that what you're facing, for example, in Michigan, you had a skilled labor force that had for quite a while improving living standard, families that could send the kids to college, had a very good future in production and manufacturing, and then all of a sudden in the last years, that's gone. And then you had the election of a president who promised that he was going to restore that, and of course we're seeing the complete fraud of the hope and change and so on. So I'm just wondering what kind of response are you getting when you take this polemic out there that we're going to restore this, we're not going to put up with this anymore? I assume you're finding people who may be a little skeptical at first, maybe worn down, but they're actually happy to see someone fighting. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. It's generally true. Some people are hearing us tell them what Obama just did with the the deal that he cut with the Republicans, and are shocked or don't want to believe at first that he cut Social Security. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who more recently have, you know, many of the auto workers did not believe, by the way, that Obama saved the auto sector. But we're seeing people who were, for example, like in the African American community, who considered, standing up and holding up a picture of Obama with the Hitler mustache as something which is political suicide, who are beginning to realize now that, you know, the only thing suicidal is allowing this guy to remain in there. And but there's shock. There's shock, and there's some shock in the population from realizing that this guy's slashing Social Security and things like this. There's going to be, I think, we've also been contacting more and more the people who are responsible for municipal budgets, who are just at the end of the line. As far as, you know, they're reaching the point within the next 2 months at which they're not going to be able to pay their city payroll as a direct result of Obama and this Congress not having done anything to reverse the collapse of the manufacturing base. or get any real significant employment, gainful employment going in their communities. So so that's the type of that's what we're intersecting right now.
Yeah, and I think that what you just said here on the municipal budgets, what's going on with the cities and states, is lays out clearly what Mr. LaRouche says has to be the emergency actions that are taken. One, that we have to step forward and intervene to save our cities and states. And as I said before, the policies that are coming out by this gutless Congress and this president who wants to push through executive orders and, you know, make compromises at the expense of the lives of the American people is completely, should be completely forbidden. And it should, we have to make sure that the first order of business has to be to implement Glass-Steagall so we can get rid of this waste and phony assets, phony banking practices, and actually start to put back sound banking practices into the system. And that means putting forth a emergency measure to save these cities and states and to bail out the cities and states and the people in need versus bailing out these bankrupt financial institutions. And it's really exciting right now to look at the perspective of what will actually bring that to fruition, to bring that forward. One, by invoking and establishing the principles represented around NWAPA, you give, once again, these cities and states the type of mission orientation that's required to rebuild them, to give the to give people a sense of mission, of actually participating and being a part of a project that's going to guarantee and enhance the perspective for a real future. And so, yeah, it's really clear that if people take a step back. And, you know, one of the things, and I think, Bill, you can probably attest to this, too, that we've been taking on and, you know, we've actually gotten out a leaflet recently that Mr. LaRouche put out, and this is what we've been organizing around this past week, destroying the British Empire and American Christmas tradition. And what we're taking on and taking up as a theme in that is that when you're taking on the role of leadership in the way that these six congressional campaigns would are representing, are clearly representing now, and we're not just talking about, you know, building the committee so that we can sit back on our laurels and, you know, just kind of relax until 2011, 2012 and start doing something. We're talking about providing the urgently needed leadership immediately. That as long as we have this insane president in office, and as long as we're not pushing forth the policies for going for large-scale, long-term infrastructure development plans, then you're not going to have a nation. And that's what we're fighting for at this present time. And so, but the thing that we're taking on is that it has to be made clear that the population must take responsibility in this fight. If the population sits back and says we're going to wait for something to happen, or they act on their fears or their pessimism, then, you know, it can be really understood that throughout the course of history, throughout the course of the development of our republic, it has never been in any part of history it has never been proven to be the ability of the population to win a war and to get out of that pessimism and defeat the enemy at hand as long as they were controlled by the pessimistic state, which kept them from acting. And so throughout this past period, going into the December 25th Christmas Day, you know, one thing that we really take into into our being and are invoked and inspired by is the power and the leadership, the great leadership represented by General Washington. And I've brought this up and have been very inspired by it, looking at the role of General Washington and how he didn't allow for the fears and pessimisms of the population and those around him to keep him from acting and doing what was necessary to lead the nation out of the crisis which represented, and to go after the known enemy, which was out to destroy this nation and its republic in which it represented, and the republic in which it was fighting to represent, should I say.
Well, and as you know, Keisha, the Washington and others knew very well that there were British operations to try to demoralize the population. People were saying,
absolutely,
you'd get a better deal if you stuck with the British. You know, who do you think you are? You know, the same kind of line that you get today, where people basically say, look, the Democrats are told you'd better stick with Obama because he's better than the Republicans. And I think part of what we have to do is give people a sense that they can take on these lies. They can take on this nonsense. There's no reason for the American people to tolerate the idea that we have to compromise with fascism, that we have to kill off the elderly and the poor and the sick because we don't have enough money, that we have to allow cities to decay and decline. You know, Bill, is it the case that in parts of Detroit now they're tearing up the housing and businesses and planting gardens?
There's actually the current plan, I think, that Detroit is considering is actually shutting off trash collection, police services, and possibly fire for about a fifth of the territory of the city.
So if you're in that area, you're basically being told, hit the road, Jack.
Yep.
Well, this is where we have to tell the president it's time for him to hit the road.
That's right.
In fact, Keisha, didn't we have a banner like that in Texas?
Yep, we sure did. Hit the road, Barack, invoke the 25th Amendment. And that is clearly what we're still doing right now, invoking the 25th Amendment, because we can't wait until 2012 to get this insane president out.
Now, Bill, let me just ask you another question on this, because it's obvious that people must be quite demoralized in Detroit. I mean, there's talk about more casinos and things of that sort, but there's also what LaRouche often talks about is the Pearl Harbor reflex, that when Americans are pushed to the edge, they can rise up and fight. How do you see that in terms of the present crisis?
Well, I mean, it's true that people are certainly demoralized and pessimistic. But I would say that because of, well, Detroit does have this history to it. I mean, you have, you know, not far from here, you have Willow Run, which is a factory complex with an airstrip that produced, a B-7 bomber every hour, which, you know, we sent over to, you know, win the war in Europe.
The arsenal of democracy.
Yeah, the arsenal of democracy, right. So the idea of doing the impossible is not the most foreign thing to the population here. And I think that just gets back to, I mean, it's always things like that. It's always these historical undercurrents which you have to kind of tap into, because and just getting back to the point I think Keisha was making is that it's always by rekindling this sense of doing the impossible, I think that the cultural pessimism and the demoralization has been nothing more than an attempt to really stamp out, on behalf, in terms of the British Empire, to stamp out this sense of doing the impossible, in terms of science, in terms of the capability to improve the condition, the lives of people. So, that historically is here because of the connection people have to being a part of that type of process. And I think if we just tell people, you know, look, we don't have to, you know, anyone who tells you that, you know, we have to cut the budget and we have to compromise to this and that, it's stupid. It has nothing to do with, that has nothing to do with how this nation was founded and how it developed. So, you know, that's, the pessimism is not, it's, the pessimism and the demoralization is only so deep.
Well, Keisha, one thing I know that you were talking about is that there was an organizing tour in West Texas, actually even in the New Mexico now. For people who don't know Texas, it's a long way from Houston to El Paso, but you took a team out there, and this was to take up the NWAPA question, because this is a team that's very much involved in, I mean, that's an area that needs water perhaps more than any other part of the country. So
true.
What was the response you were getting out in El Paso?
Well, I have to say people were really provoked and inspired and ready to join in the fight. I along with a team of three others went out, and we had an opportunity to actually meet with engineers and scientists, professors, and even to go out and take a tour of the Pecos River. And we went to an area on the Pecos River, which was, you know, there was enough water in it that you can, like, stick your pinky finger and it'll touch the bottom. It was bad. And when we talked about bringing, you know, something like an average of 1.5 million acre-feet of water into this area, I mean, this guy's eyes just lit up. And, you know, he could just really see the potential that represented. He was actually working for the gentleman that took us on the tour, was the key developer for the Ag Life Center, which was an extension of the land-grant college program represented for Texas A&M that came out of the policies of Lincoln. And so, you know, you're just looking at the development, the potential for agricultural development, and what types of farms you can create, the type of water, irrigation systems, all of this. And also even going on to the college campuses, talking to the professors, and for the most, more importantly, talking to the students who were in the fields of engineering and science. They saw that, okay, we don't have to become lifelong students because there's nothing out there for us to do or build. We can actually participate in something. And so they're, you know, they got really inspired and provoked by what we were doing.
Actually, Keisha, one of the schools on the West Coast, a professor said to the students who weren't responding too much, they were playing with their Blackberries and kind of their eyes were a little glazed over. He said, "Hey, you guys are here to get an education so you can get a job. You're not going to have a job if we don't get this NWAPA." So I think some of these students are going to learn they have to pay attention.
Absolutely.
Well, now, Bill, this is something new for you, but I know you have a sense that you're joining a team that has a certain quality of activity behind it. What does it mean to you to be able to join in with Rachel and Keisha and Summer?
Well, it's a joy. I mean, this is an opportunity that, you know, obviously to me it just makes sense, because without doing this, I think that the country doesn't really have an opportunity to survive without actually bringing, without the ability to bring to the entire population a sense of their ability to be involved in a process of real leadership. You know, you're going to have people have no sense of hope. So that's in a way, that's sort of the way I've been thinking about it. It's in a process of developing something, you know, when there's a need to bring in a new technology comes about in a process by the need to bring something new in. And I've been kind of thinking about the campaign being launched here and the two other new campaigns. In that sense, there's a need for it. There's a need for this leadership in the population. It's not a formula, but it's something which is very much required now if we're going to unify the country.
Well, let me come back to this question of leadership, because I just came back from a fairly extraordinary 4.5-week tour of Europe, where I had a chance to spend time in France, where we have a presidential campaign with Jacques Cheminade, who's been on this program several times, and then also in Germany, where we have major campaigns against the greeny candidate for mayor of Berlin, Renate Künast, who's one of the nastiest pieces of work on the planet, who basically wants to shut down people because they breathe. Also, we're running in Stuttgart. And what I saw clearly, I mean, Jacques himself is a little bit older. He's even older than me. But what you see is a new generation of leadership, because Jacques' campaign team is mostly young people in France. The candidates in Germany are mostly young people. And our six candidates in the United States are also mostly very young people. And so you have this idea of a new generation of leadership. Now, Keisha, you had the opportunity to go to the Congressional Black Caucus Conference, where you saw an old generation of leadership, which was trying to play it cool and make it seem as though everything was under control. But when you confronted them with this idea that we have a president who's destroying their constituents, and in fact, one of the people you had a chance to talk with was Maxine Waters, who's under attack specifically because she's fighting against the policies of this president. We saw what was done to Charlie Rangel. What can you say for African-Americans, Hispanics, the section of the population, poor, white, working people, that would get them to realize that your new generation of leadership is the only hope they have? How would you communicate that?
Well, I would say that they have to first take responsibility for their future. And, you know, it's not enough to sit back and say, I'm going to wait and see what someone's going to do for me. And because we've seen that, you know, this president has been completely insane, has been nothing more than a puppet, and he has, to the British Empire and to the London and Wall Street financial interests, to put him in place. And it is clear that people have been sold down the creek. The African American population are coming out even stronger now. We see this from the statements that came out from a great collaborator of Martin Luther King, that people, you know, this president has sold us out. He's no good. And you're seeing that coming from the population. But what I would say is that doesn't mean that this is the time to get demoralized and say, oh, you can't trust anybody or there's no leadership. You have to provide and take up the leadership, and you have to know what type of solutions are necessary to get us out of this crisis. And that is, first and foremost, whoever you are, you have to break with this president, especially Democrats, African Americans, and everyone else who feel that they have an obligation to hang on to the coattail of this president. I mean, it's completely insane. After what he's done and what red he's represented, and we've laid it out very clearly here today, anyone who still doesn't understand that this president is not acting in their interest should really take a step back and think about what they're doing to their nation and to themselves.
They should think about what happened to their brain.
Yeah, exactly. And secondly, fight for a real solution. Educate yourself. Get behind the six LaRouche candidates, because we represent a true voice for the nation and for standing up and representing the principles in which this nation was founded on and which unifies us as human beings. And as human beings, we have to take responsibility for once again completely transforming our nation and representing the quality of citizenry which we were intended to represent. And so that's what I would say to people. And if you really understand that, then I would say back our fight. Get behind these six campaigns. One thing that we want to do is in January, all six candidates will be getting together in Washington, D.C. to officially launch the campaigns and go there with Mr. LaRouche at his webcast that he'll be giving in mid-January. So contribute. Make sure that we have the means to be able to provide the leadership which is necessary where it's void right now. And, you know, you look at what's happening with, you know, the attacks against Charlie Rangel and Maxine Waters. I mean, the fact that people would just sit by idly and not say this is a unconstitutional crime, shame against humanity, and we're doing this while people are suffering and taking on the leaders that would actually represent that, you know, forgotten man in the population. And so it should be very clear in people's minds where we are right now, and they should be willing to really stand up and fight.
And let me just remind people what Keisha was talking about is I believe it's January 22nd, isn't it, Keisha, that Lyndon LaRouche will be doing his next webcast. That will be after the latest atrocity known as the new Congress will be sworn in. But, you know, right. I think we have to look at this in a particular way, which is that even though most people didn't know what the hell they were doing when they were voting, they did know they wanted to send a message against Obama. But they didn't know what they were voting for. We have an opportunity to provide the new congressman with a solution, as well as take the existing congressman and scare the hell out of some of them to decide that they have to back up our slate. Now, Bill, as someone who's new to this, you and I have been talking about some of the congressmen in the Michigan area. I assume you're not going to be shy at all about going up to them and saying, look, I'm running because we've got to fight and push through Glass-Steagall and Nuwapa. I assume that's part of what you're planning.
Right, yeah, no, not at all. It's they're not going to, you know, get by with just being able to pretend like there's not a wholesale selling out of the U.S. population that's going on right now. And we're going to bring other people into that process because a lot of people don't know that they can yell at their congressman too. Well, after the Obamacare, the attempt to, you know, when that was beginning to be rammed down people's throats, you had a certain shock, you know, shock effect that was felt. But the shock of what's coming now that I think people realize that you know, they have to actually think much more deeply about how they're going to think about the need for a real solution to the political crisis and to the economic crisis presents a tremendous opportunity to, I think, you know, transform and light a fire under these guys' asses.
Well, Keisha, let me just ask you then, what are you planning in the next couple of days to make sure that the word gets out of this six-person slate? What's immediately on tap for us?
Oh, wow. Well, we have to build our army. We are sending out press releases. I've already put together a statement that's going up on my website. It's going out on the LaRouche Peck website. We've got thousands of leaflets going out introducing the six candidate slate, and we're getting this out everywhere, including going to the Democratic Party, which tried to kick me out. So therefore, we're going to go with an army now, a massive slate of candidates, and which will have their eyes rolling. But but yeah, we are taking this six candidate slate out to the streets everywhere we can, and giving the population that they have leadership, and it is represented by this unified force and voice, which our candidacies represent, providing the solutions needed to get out of this crisis.
Well, I think that should be, as we say in the press release, the announcement of this new slate is our Christmas present to the American people. And it's Americans who are probably going to be drinking heavily Friday night, and Saturday they're going to be laid out under the Christmas tree with ribbon and toys spread around them saying, what the hell do I do now? So we want to get this release out. Go to the website, LaRouchePack.com. There's also a video statement on this. There'll be more to come as Bill and then the other new candidates, Diane Sayre in New Jersey and Dave Christie in Seattle, will be putting out their initial statements. Keisha and Bill, I'm sure we're going to have you on many, many more times. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Holly.
So this has been the LaRouche Show. We'll be back next week, and we will have a New Year's Day broadcast. It will also be pre-taped. But make sure you get people to listen and get people on the website and join the fight now. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.